Turn in God's Word this morning to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Psalm 8, familiar psalm. Many of you children, many of us adults have memorized parts of this psalm. Let us think. Sometimes when we memorize something, we think we know it well. We could brush over it without thinking so carefully about what we are saying and what we're listening to. Let's try to think hard about what God is saying here in His Word. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. When a baby is born, there are many things that parents are struck with. There are two truths that I point out to you that parents are almost immediately impressed with when they see that child, especially first-time parents. First, how wonderfully made that baby is. It's a miracle, astounding, glorious miracle. God has, in the darkness of the womb, without us even seeing, formed each one of those internal parts of a child, everything from the heart to the lungs, the fingers to the toes, to the eyes, to the ears, to the mouth, all formed so that we know we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's one truth that parents are struck with when we look at this child, the wonder of it all. The second thing, however, as beautiful as this child is that God has made, the wonder of it doesn't diminish also this truth, that this child is weak. This child is small. This child is unable to talk. He can't communicate what he wants very well. He's unable to procure food for himself. He can't even roll over or hold his body up. And one thing that comes out in the text that we consider this morning in verse 2 of chapter 8 is a picture of the weakness of a child. In verse 2, we have two words which refer to this little child, babes and sucklings. And both words in the original point to the nursing of a child. That's the picture. And when you look at a mother who nurses her child, what comes across your mind should be that this child is utterly dependent on his mother and his father if he's feeding that bottle, because he can't survive on his own. The weakness of the child is impressed upon us parents. And what God shows us in His Word this morning is this: as weak as this baby is, as weak as our children may be, and that's the perception of adults, we look at our children and they are weak. But as weak as they may be, God uses the weakest of persons to do the greatest things. That's a common theme that runs through Scripture. The greatest of sinners are often the ones that God uses to do His great works. The weakest of men, the ones God uses to be great preachers of the gospel. The weakest, the spiritual babes, the youngest, the babes and the sucklings, as we see this morning, are the ones that God chooses to bring forth the greatest of praises. The main topic of Psalm 8 is the glory of God. praising of God in the creation in particular. Verse 1 talks about the heavens. Verse 3 talks about the sun, the moon, and the stars. Verse 5 talks about the angels. Verse 7 talks about the sheep and the oxen and the beasts of the field. Verse 8 talks about the birds, the fowls of the sky, and the things of the sea. All creation, whether they can do so willingly or intelligibly, all of creation, this psalm is saying, says, declares, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That's the common theme through this psalm. All of creation proclaims, how excellent is thy name. And what we find in verse 2 is that the children born into this creation have a unique place in this choir of praise to God. Children have a unique and essential place in joining the creation which praises God, in joining the adults who praise God, to praise God with strength, with great strength. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Consider this text with me under the theme, strong praise from the mouths of children. Strong praise from the mouths of children. First, the meaning. Second, the purpose of God in this. And finally, the calling. In this first point, we first consider the activity which the text talks about. And then in the second part of this first point, we consider the subjects of this activity, which is the most striking part of this psalm. But first, the activity that God is talking about. What is the activity here? The text says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. And that means, first of all, that strong praises will come forth from the lips of us. God makes sure that out of the throats, out of the mouths, and with the tongues, and with the teeth that come out, will come forth praises to God. Jesus later quotes this text in Matthew 21, and he uses the word praises instead of the word strength, as verse 2 says. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, Jesus says later on, thou hast perfected praise. So Jesus interprets this text for us to show that he means the praising of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament his handiwork, the earth shows forth the name of God is excellent, and in addition to that, the children, the babes and sucklings, show forth praise. And in particular, the kind of praise or the content of that praise is about a strong God. That's why we have in the text, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength instead of the word praise. Because the content is about the strong God. How great and almighty he is, how strong he is to save, how his grace is almighty and will turn hearts to him, how sovereign he is so that he controls all things, so that nothing can move except it be by his command. Praise to the almighty God, the strong God. That's the activity that we're talking about here. Not only, however, is the content about the strong God, but the word strength in this verse means the people that bring praise to God have a strong effect. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained a strong effect. Strong praise about that strong God. The second half of the text says, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And we'll explain more what that means a little later in the sermon. But notice already now that out of the mouths of children, with these praises, there is such a strong effect that there is a hushing of the enemy. The enemy that rages against God, that speaks loud blasphemies against God and his church. God says he uses these strong praises to quiet them, still them. It's a strong effect. And when you think about this quieting of the enemy, you might think of someone like Martin Luther, who stood before the Diet of Worms, and said, here I stand, I can do no other. He confesses his faith in the God of sovereign grace, and he quiets the Diet, the people, the Roman Catholics, who disagree with him. Or you can think of John Calvin or some other preacher or theologian who stands before his congregation and preaches a powerful message of God's grace to his people, not by works, but only through Jesus Christ alone. The congregation sits in silence. They listen can hear a pin drop. But now, read in verse 2, not these greats, but babes and sucklings bring forth such strong praise. The inspired word of God shows us this morning, little children do. They indicated later, both words point to the fact that these children are nursing children. They're young enough to nurse. And when you think in today's context, you think of maybe just infants up to at most 2 years old, because that's as long as babies nurse today. But back then, children would sometimes nurse up to the age of 4 years old. And so when you think of this text, you can think of children that are from the age of this baby, Dominic, all the way until the age of four, the preschoolers of today. Such, God says, will bring forth strong praise from the mouths of such children. Now, how do they bring forth such praise? As adults, we can't comprehend that so quickly, so easily. But first, we ought to think of them bringing forth such praise unconsciously. They bring forth unconscious praise to God when they are born. Simply their existence shows, as we saw in the introduction, how wonderfully and fearfully they're made. Psalm 139, verse 14. And their existence before our eyes praises God. It causes us to stand in wonder and fear of God. That's why Psalm 139, verse 14 says they're fearfully and wonderfully made. They're not just their existence, but when they come forth from the womb, the first thing that that child often does is he cries, he fills his lungs, and he brings forth that cry. And in that hospital room, the doctor and the nurses and the mother and the father, when they hear that cry, they immediately think, yes, good, thank God, what a healthy baby, boy or girl. But that first cry is not only just that, to indicate the health of that child. Psalm 8 shows us it's a sound of praise to God. That sound of a cry, though unintelligible, though unconscious that of that baby is of it, is God saying through that baby, I am that strong God who has made this child with life and has given him that life and given him that health so that he may cry out a praise to me immediately at birth with his mouth. When the baby wakes up at night and cries, and mother and father think immediately, oh, that child's hungry, needs to be fed. That infant is declaring through his cries, unconsciously, God is strong to work in a child's innate hunger, a reflex to cry when he needs to eat, and nourishment for his body so that he may continue to live. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained such praise. Just as the birds praise God, just as the waves sound to praise God, and the thunder sounds to acknowledge the existence of God, so babies do, unconsciously. Parents, don't let those praises go unnoticed. When you hear them, you join your child then to praise God in your heart. Very soon, however, this unconscious praise changes into a willing praise. Very soon, I say, because the parent doesn't know exactly when. A child still is learning how to talk. That child can't communicate very clearly when God is already working in his heart. Very early on, at a young age often, Christ begins to work in this young child the ability to willingly praise God, to want to praise God. Baptism is a sign of that. When you saw baptism upon this child this morning, that water was a sign of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. It was a sign that Jesus has not only died for our children, but that Jesus Christ sends his Spirit into the hard hearts of our children who don't want to worship God by nature, and changes their hearts so that now they want to praise God with their whole life and with their lips, their mouths also. And early on, when that child at the dinner table says, Amen. Amen. One of the first words he may learn, he means by that, yes, what mom and dad says in prayer, in praise to the strong God, though I don't totally understand it yet, yes, amen. Let it be. These young little children began to learn the hymns, the Psalter numbers, memory verses. We didn't think they were picking up. We taught our older children. They're saying them in their hearts. They surprise us. They speak those words they learned at school. The programs that they sing, that they put on, repeating what they've learned. You've heard them, have you not? Testify to the strong Creator God. So that while that intelligent, multi-degreed professor at the university denies creation, a little child speaks up. He says, Mommy, Daddy, tree out there, all the leaves on it, God made that. Me, with all the parts of my body, God made me. And he or she even knows when terrible disasters strike in other lands, they hear of tornadoes, storms. The educated theologians deny that this is what God did. Children, matter of fact, said, yes, I know, God did it. And when we as adults face death, death of our loved one, we're filled with grief and we cry and we're even angry and discontent with what God has done, child will say, but Mom, Dad, Grandma's in heaven. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strong praise to the strong God. This is to be applied to young children. I said to infants, even when they're unconscious, to a little older children too, up to 4 years old, preschoolers, but it can also be applied to older children than that. That's what Jesus does in Matthew 21. Jesus had recently come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, you remember, riding on that donkey. And when he had come through the town of Jerusalem, through the gates, the people had shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. And when the people shouted, there were children who were with their parents, following their parents' example. Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And once that was done, the next day Jesus entered into the temple. And there in the temple, you remember, he had kicked out the buyers and the sellers, shown his authority. And then the sick had come in and he had healed the sick in the temple. And there were children in that temple. Probably not the really young ones, but the ones who were about 10 to 12 years old who accompanied their parents for the feast days. They noticed Jesus' authority in driving out buyers and the sellers and the money changers. They noticed the power of God in this man who healed the blind and the crippled with one word. And what the Jewish leaders denied, they proclaimed as they had heard the day before, Hosanna to the Son of David, which is Hosanna to the Son of God, the very Messiah. These children were a little older, but Jesus applied this text to them. When the leaders said, Jesus, why aren't you stopping them from saying these things? He replied, yes, have you not heard? Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained or perfected praise. From the infant crying in the nursery, toddler singing at the dining table, the kindergartner and his Christmas program, the grade schooler asking deep questions, many of them in catechism class, the middle schooler singing from his heart in church, even though he might not fully understand every word in the Psalter, praises to God, strong praises. Parents, these are no accidents. These are no occurrences far and few between. God shows us in his word this morning, this is the norm. This is what I have ordained, he says. This is what I have planned, and I have purposely put in your life that the children that you have, the babes and sucklings even, bring forth this praise. See the little mouth? God created, he made that mouth. Not only to cry for food, not only to talk later on, not only to eat and to drink, but the first purpose that he created that little mouth, and your little child, is for the grand work of praising him. Children, speak to you now. This is what God wants you to do, children, at a really young age. This is why your mother and your father brought you to church this morning. You know that there are a lot of parents that might come to church, but they don't think children should be there with them. Most of the churches today are filled with adults, but not children. Because they don't think children should be there praising God. They don't think they really get it. But God knows you get it. very early on. You understand what's going on. You know what we're doing here. You might not understand every word. God has willed, God has planned for you to be here with the adults to worship Him, because out of the mouths even of babes and sucklings, God has ordained this strong praise. Now the application, children. God didn't give you mouths to talk evil about your brother, your sister, or your friends at school. God didn't give you mouths to open and laugh and mock at other people. God didn't give you mouths to say dirty, filthy words. God gave you mouths for this purpose. You praise Him with strong praise here in church and also in school and at home and all your life. Why? What's the purpose for God in God in bringing forth such praises from little children? The great purpose of God is to, listen now, this is going to be very striking. It's not something we often think about. But the purpose of God in bringing forth such strong praise from children is to attack and to destroy the enemies. What? To attack and destroy enemies. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. Why? Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Who are these enemies? No, not our personal enemies, the people that we don't like in church or don't like at school. No, not those enemies. But the enemies here are the enemies of God. Thy enemies refer to God's enemies. God's enemies, you know very well, are three kinds. First, the wicked world around us. The world are the unbelievers of this earth who might seem to be very nice people, kind-looking, handsome, sweet, outwardly kind people, who even say they are Christians, but by their walk and by their unbelief and impenitence, they show themselves not to be Christians. They are the enemies of God. God's enemies, secondly, include our own sinful nature. Remember, children, that old man in us. We'll talk about that more tonight in the evening service. But that old man in you, children, you know, that part of you that feels like you want to be naughty. That's an enemy of God. That old nature that your parents have also, so that our children have them as well. And the third enemy, which this text makes explicit, is Satan, the devil himself. Notice how the text speaks of God's enemies in the plural first and then moves to the singular to talk about one enemy in particular. The enemy and the avenger. That's the adversary. Who wants to get back at God. That's what vengeance or avenger means. Someone who wants to get back at God. God has already inflicted many defeats upon Satan and the devil. He wants to get back at God, to take away glory from God. And he fights. Satan fights using the wicked world around us and using our own natures within us to attack God. That's why these are God's enemies. And all these enemies of God, God says, He will destroy. He will still. Thou mightest still the avenger and the enemy. To still them means to destroy them. Attack them so that they move no more against God. He's going to do that. When, children? When is He going to do that? Well, He's doing that right now. And in the end, in the latter day when Jesus comes again, you know, Jesus will give the final blow to Satan himself and destroy Satan and the wicked world and those wicked natures within us. What a day that will be. We're looking forward to that day, are we not? God has planned that this will come to pass. He has ordained that this will come to pass. He will still the enemy. And ultimately, all that is God's work. But a beautiful part of that work is this. God uses His people to accomplish that purpose of stilling the enemy. He uses you. You who are members of His church. That's why He calls the church militant. As members of His church, we are soldiers who must daily fight against the devil, who must daily fight against that sinful nature that wants to do evil, who must daily fight against the wicked world. We're in a war. And whether we like this idea or not, we're in it. Whether we close our eyes to it and try to be oblivious about the battle going on, we're in it. Think about a soldier in the Civil War. Put him on the battlefield. Cover up his eyes and close his ears. Dull his feelings so that he doesn't notice the war going on. He might not notice. He's still very really in the war, in the battle. There are too many Christians who try to be oblivious to the war, who close their ears and blind their eyes and try to dull their feelings. But that doesn't make it any less true that they're in the war. They're in the battle. And they're in the army of God, if they're Christians, God's people. We saw a few weeks ago when we went through the Heidelberg Catechism that baptism is actually a badge or an ensign or an ensign. And that means that when you are baptized, children, in the church, God gives you a badge, like the insignia that an army officer might get. Those colorful ornaments that go on the shoulder pieces and the chest and even the hats of those in the Marines and the Army and the Navy. Baptism is like one of those pins or badges. God is saying in baptism to his people, this makes you in my army, whether you like it or not. And that means not only are we adults in this battle, fighting on Christ's side, but our children are side by side with us. Parents don't want to think about that. Emily and Jared, you don't want to think about that. You want to think about this nice child that we can guard and protect. But whether or not we like it, it's simply fact. God is using his people with our children to accomplish that great purpose of attacking the enemy and stilling them in the end. And the most unbelievable part of this text is that God chooses the little children, the babes and the sucklings, to still these enemies. His purpose for having the praise come forth from the lips of these children is to advance his cause and help his side destroy the enemies. Our children, though they may not look the part, they are also soldiers. And their mouths are like weapons that bring forth the word of God, the word of praise, to battle against the enemy. And every time, children, your mouths bring forth praise to God, it is God using your mouths to have some sort of progression on his side against the enemy, to fight against them, and to fight against our natures, and to fight against the world. We might not notice the effects of it, but we take God as his word, and he says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strong praise, which will still the enemy. You might not notice all the effects, as I said, but many examples of strong effects. One example is in the life of Jesus Christ. You remember? Remember the story of Jesus Christ in the temple when he was 12 years old? He went with his parents to Jerusalem. They couldn't find him. And they finally found him in the temple. And what was he doing? Yes, he was speaking strong praise about God and asking about that strong God of those Jewish elders, ministers. And they could not answer him, putting them to silence. Think of the children in the temple shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, right in the faces of those Pharisees who denied Jesus as the Messiah, accomplishing his purpose, stilling the enemy. Think of our children. Parents, when they come home from school, from catechism maybe, and they say, Mom, Dad, doesn't the Bible say that we should love one another? That means, doesn't it, that we shouldn't be yelling at one another and fighting? Strong effect upon the enemy within. Think of our children going off to college or even in high school. Speaking up, I firmly believe the God who has created this earth in 6 literal days. And though they might not be able to answer all the questions of the professors and all the arguments that those professors might bring, strong effect, the battle against the enemy, all the false doctrines. There's only some examples. God is using them. He's using our children even when we don't notice how strong those effects are. Well, let's go a step further even. Not only are our children unique and their strong praises to God, effectual attackers of the enemies. But these children are essential. They're absolutely necessary for the destruction of the enemy. The word ordained in the text draws this out. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. And that word ordained literally means to establish or to lay a foundation. And so you can read the text this way. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast established or founded praise. Think of a building and the foundation, the establishment underneath the building. That foundation is what makes that building strong. That foundation is what makes that building last. That foundation makes that building what is temporary to start permanent. That foundation is absolutely necessary. You take away that foundation of the building, and that building might stand for a little while, but soon it will fall. Children, the mouths of children which bring forth strong praise, people of God, are part of this foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ, so that church doesn't stop praising God. Take away the children. Soon, very soon, church stops praising God, in truth at least, and the church stops fighting as church militant. Those baby boys who speak praises at a young age grow up. They grow up to be the men, stalwart sons, who become elders, leaders, ministers, supporters of the truth. Those women, those baby girls who praise God are the same women who grow up to support their husbands, to be a means to the next generation of children. These infants, both male and female, are the very men and women who worship God in truth, maintain the true doctrine, defend what is right, witness and fight against the world and the sinful flesh and the devil. Take away these babes and sucklings who bring forth praise at a young age, and you have a weak church. As Jesus quoted later on, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise, he says. Praise of the church is imperfect, incomplete, he means, until you add with it praise of the children. Calling, therefore, is implied in the text. How will our children, little as they are, begin so early on to praise God, become that foundation? True, God will make sure it happens. As part of the text, he has ordained it. What he has ordained, he will surely bring to pass. Part of his plan and purpose, he can't fail. But that doesn't take away the responsibility of us adults, and especially of us as parents. He uses us as means so that our children bring forth that praise for the stilling of the enemy. Parents, if you love God, if you are in his army also, that includes you, grandparents, if you love the purposes of God, and you want his purposes of stilling the enemy to be accomplished, and you do, then you will do your utmost to raise your children in a way that they will praise God. Not only by telling them, but by being examples of praise to your children. Don't just let them hear you say you need to come to church twice, but let them see you come here as much as possible. Don't let them just hear you say you need to talk about Jesus. Let them hear mom and dad talk about Christ to one another as though they really love him. Let them hear you witness to others of the gospel. Let them get used to the fact that adults like mom and dad are not ashamed to have spiritual discussions in front of other people and to pray at the restaurant and to out loud talk about their faith. Emily and Jared, you need to create a culture in your home by God's grace. Parents, we need to create a culture in our home different from the culture in the world and in other homes, a place where husband and wife and children and parents and brothers and sisters are eagerly speaking to one another with their mouths concerning the strong God and praise of him. A couple of concrete illustrations to close. First, we need to sing. We need to sing, not just in church. We need to sing all the way to Zion. We need to sing. What is praise without singing? If you think about Psalter and the Psalms that we sing, almost every Psalter number talks about singing. That's how we praise God. That's how we talk about his strength. Sing. Music and joined with words about the strong God is most conducive to hearts worshiping God. Right now, at a young age, you can talk to the scientists who know much about music. Sing right now to your children. Sing even though they might not understand all the words. Let them sing with you and learn hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Let them hear you sing about the God who is almighty, omnipotent, wise, gracious, of amazing grace. Let them hear you sing before dinner, after dinner, before bed, in the day, in the car. And we might not be legalists. Talk about how the Bible says we may not listen or sing any other song except for a song that talks about God. Not going to say that. what those songs produced by the world and produced by non-Christians, even if they're not evil of themselves, what those songs often do is that they crowd out. They crowd out the proper songs of praise that we, with our babes and sucklings, ought to be bringing to God as strong praises for the destruction of the enemy. And when we as parents sing, even though we might not have the best voices, our children will grow up singing with us, fulfilling the purpose of God as He shows us in His Word this morning. Second, parents, live the antithesis. That comes out in the text when we read about children and their praise being used to still the enemy. God does this, not I. God places a difference, spiritual separation between us and the world. That's what the antithesis is. We don't create the antithesis, it's there. And God says, now live consistent with it. That doesn't mean being mean to the people who do not believe in Jesus. That's a misunderstanding of the antithesis. It doesn't mean that we never come in contact with them. It does mean our lives are distinct and different from the rest of the world. When the world enters into our home, they're going to be surprised with the difference, with the singing, with the confession, with the discussions, with the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we live. That's the antithesis. Parents are to make sure that with the vocabulary that you use, with the time that mother spends in the home with the child, with what you do on Sundays, with the friends that you have, what comes on the television, comes on the radio or on the internet or your iPods. It's different. It's different than the world. So that your child can know what is supposed to be coming forth from his life and from his mouth. Because if that child is confused about that growing up, about which side he's on, and that will be the case if parents aren't living the antithesis, then what comes forth from his mouth is not going to be praises to the strong God, which defeat the enemy. But what may come forth from his mouth may be instead words against the true God, blasphemies against him. Parents, bring forth praise to God, living in contrast to the world, will be used by God. Bring forth babes and sucklings. Bring forth praise, honor for the stilling of the enemy. Let that be the case, parents. Let godly parents do their utmost for this end, the glory of God, and that alone. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let us as thy church, as parents, bring praise to thy excellent name. By thy grace, is ultimately it's of thy grace, that our children do the same, so that we might truly glorify thee and be weak means fulfilling thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ, captain of our army, on whose side we are on, we pray. Amen.